This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Awaiting the Mueller findings. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, February 21st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A new report says the special counsel could deliver his Russia investigation to the Justice Department as early as next week, but how much of it will be public?
Authorities say a Coast Guard lieutenant who'd been stockpiling weapons at his home in Maryland had a hit list of prominent Democrats and journalists.
Chicago investigators say actor Jussie Smollett faces a felony charge for staging his own assault. He blamed Trump supporters.
And how big brands battle online outrage from consumers.
If it feels like to you that there's a new, you know, backlash against a corporate brand or a product or an advertisement all the time, it's very apparent to companies too.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Germano on the race against the clock to respond when a PR crisis unfolds online. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says her chamber would swiftly pass a measure that would block President Trump's national emergency order to free up additional money to build a border wall. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The announcement by Mrs. Pelosi sets the stage for a vote in the Democrat-controlled House, followed by a debate in the Republican-controlled Senate. In a letter to House Democrats, Mrs. Pelosi said the emergency declaration undermines the constitutional separation of powers and Congress's power of the purse. The president last Friday signed a spending bill that avoids another government shutdown, but he was not satisfied that only $1.38 billion was appropriated for border security. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. A national emergency would enable the president to bypass Congress and divert money from elsewhere in the government to pay for additional barriers along the southern border. The move invited immediate court challenges. A new report by CNN says special counsel Robert Mueller could deliver his report as early as next week to Attorney General William Barr. Then Mr. Barr will review the findings and submit his own summary to Congress. But the big question is how much of the Russia probe will be made public or even sent to Congress. President Trump, responding to the report, said that decision would be up to Mr. Barr.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
Democrats have been concerned that Mr. Barr, who has discretion over what is ultimately made public, will choose to limit disclosure, although the new AG has said he would seek to make public as much of the findings as he can. Mr. Mueller is investigating alleged Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election and possible collusion by Mr. Trump's campaign. The president has denied any collusion and repeatedly slammed the Russia probe as a witch hunt. A travel nightmare for tens of millions of people thanks to a massive winter storm. The system dumped rain, snow, and ice across the South, Midwest, Mid-Atlantic, and southern New England, causing issues for some 200 million people in 39 states yesterday. By lunchtime, FlightAware says almost 2,000 flights had been canceled and more than 2,700 had been delayed. In Nebraska, state police said several people were injured after crashes involving 9 semis and 2 passenger vehicles. Minnesota authorities responded to 140 wrecks during a 6-hour period. A visitor from Missouri was surprised at Washington, D.C.'s wimpy reaction to the snow.
Well, we certainly wouldn't shut down like this in Kansas City. It would still be business as usual. But yeah, it's interesting to see how different cities handle things.
Flash flood watches stretched from western Tennessee and northern Mississippi to northern Georgia and in parts of West Virginia. Snow and a wintry mix, by the way, are expected across much of the Deep South through tomorrow evening. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk.
you're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more. Welcome into Thursday. West Virginia teachers have ended their second strike in less than a year. They'll return to class today. Meanwhile, you might recall that last year at this time, teachers there went on strike, sparking a movement that spread to other red states. But the 2018 West Virginia teacher strike, which changed so much nationally, did not change that much back where it started. And 2 days ago, West Virginia teachers again staged a walkout just to maintain the status quo. More from Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today. Rick, explain this.
The strike, I think, was one of those things, Gordon, that in retrospect is more amazing than it was at the time. If you can go back a year later and think about how unlikely it was. You had this strike, teacher strike in West Virginia for 9 days that sparked strikes in other conservative politically states like Oklahoma and Arizona, and on to Colorado and this year to L.A. and in the city of Denver. But it started in one of the most geographically isolated politically and culturally conservative sections of the country. Hardly you would think of it be a hotbed of any sort of a liberal or progressive movement, but it began in southern West Virginia in the old coal fields where people know what a strike is and have known that for generations. It caught on there over pay and health insurance, and it just kept going across the country.
All right, but here they are a year later out on strike again. How come?
When I first started reporting this piece, I talked about the strike culture in southern West Virginia, dating back to the mine wars of the 1920s, which were really pitched arm battles between striking miners and the guards and the private agents hired by the mine owners. This is simply a way in that section of the country that you resolve a problem. And when you feel you've been underpaid systematically, when you see your take-home pay getting less and less because the health insurance rates keep going up, there's one thing you do. And maybe some of us have kind of gotten away from that tradition of striking or even unionism in general. But down there, it's alive and well, and it spread from southern West Virginia across the state, across the whole country.
So as you point out in the story, while some things have changed in other red states that use teacher strikes following West Virginia's example, not a lot has changed in West Virginia following that strike.
Yeah, that's the irony of it. I think the pay was so low in West Virginia, I know the pay was so low in West Virginia, that they continue to lose teachers to other states, Ohio, Virginia, you name it. So they started the school year with 700 vacancies. That's 4% of the whole teacher force in the state. What prompted this current strike was that the Republicans who control both houses of the state legislature wanted to move forward on a lot of proposals the teachers didn't like. They wanted to institute the ability to have charter schools. They wanted to allow educational spending accounts, in which public money could be spent on private schools. And they wanted to take a crack at teacher seniority and the way that teacher dues are automatically deducted from paychecks. Kind of a front of stuff. Teachers saw this as payback for last year's strike.
We're speaking with Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today. He's written a piece about how the West Virginia teacher strike started a national movement last year. Boy, it was startling to read, and I know West Virginia teachers, I guess, are not alone in this, but some of the things that teachers are dealing with these days in the classroom, specifically around the opioid crisis, is stunning.
Teachers everywhere obviously have a hard job, having had students like you and me, But now it's really shifted into another gear entirely. In West Virginia, you might often have a kid coming from a home in which neither biological parent is living. They're living with the grandparents or a foster family, a household in which nobody works. And so teachers find themselves, in addition to dealing with academics, they have to figure out how to get their kids enough food to get them through the weekend, or maybe to get the electricity or the water turned back on in the kid's home. It's a very tough state. It's a very poor state. It's gotten, in some ways, poorer because of the opioid epidemic.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today. Again, West Virginia teachers last night ended their second strike in less than a year. They will return to class today. This portion of the program is brought to you by Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in sheets, so isn't it time for a bedding upgrade? While five-star hotel sheets can feel incredible, it shouldn't be so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. That's why I recommend brooklinen.com to my friends. Plus, Brooklinen was the winner of the Best of Online Bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Providing luxury sheets without the luxury markup, Brooklinen wanted to make superior sheets more affordable and easy to order. As the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen. Just a great product and service. My Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code DEAL at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code DEAL at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen. Brooklinen.com, and use the promo code DEAL. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, House Democrats are preparing to take a defiant stance against President Trump's national emergency declaration seeking to fund his border wall without congressional approval. A resolution to block the emergency declaration is expected to be filed tomorrow, and the measure will put some House Republicans from swing districts and states on the spot. A vote isn't likely until mid-March because of a timeline set by law. Less than a month ago, Empire actor Jussie Smollett was the seemingly sympathetic victim of a hate crime. Now he's accused of a felony. The 36-year-old actor has been charged with making a false police report when he told authorities he was attacked last month in Chicago by two men who hurled racist, anti-gay slurs and looped a rope around his neck. The whispers about Smollett started with reports that he had not fully cooperated with police. Prosecutors say a Coast Guard lieutenant who was arrested last week is a domestic terrorist who drafted an email discussing biological attacks and had what appeared to be a hit list that included prominent Democrats and media figures. Christopher Hassan is due to appear in federal court in Maryland today after his arrest on gun and drug offenses, but prosecutors say those charges are the proverbial tip of the iceberg. President Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, is set to appear on Capitol Hill next week to give highly anticipated testimony before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. The hearing was originally scheduled for earlier in the month, was delayed after Cohen cited threats from the president and attorney Rudy Giuliani. Duke might have to figure out what the Zion show will look like without its namesake after freshman sensation Zion Williamson went down with a freak knee injury in the opening minute of last night's rivalry game against North Carolina. Without Williamson in the lineup, the Blue Devils lost to the Tar Heels 88-72 on their home floor. Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Obviously, you lose the National Player of the Year candidate. They're going to be gaps of what you have to do.
Luke May took full advantage of Williamson's absence, finishing with 30 points and 15 rebounds to lead the number 8 North Carolina Tar Heels to the win over the top team in the country.
See him blow out his shoe, by the way?
That's what seemed to lead to all this. Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. And then Puma
tweets,
this wouldn't have happened in Pumas?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I know they deleted the tweet, but I mean, what was the thought process by Puma? Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. As a kid, summer vacation feels way too short, but as a working parent, the gap between school years can seem like forever as you work to cobble together quality, affordable care. Here's how to avoid bankrupting your family from Kelly Grant, senior editor at Acorns plus CNBC. Kelly, what do you have?
Just to know that for a lot of parents, that 10 to 12 week gap between school years can really be a big financial strain. It's a big logistical juggle as well, because you're trying to make sure that your kid has some safe place to go. We're not even talking about, you know, really enriching experiences of camp in that sense, but just someplace safe where your child can be while you have to work.
Mm. Can be so expensive. But break down, I guess, you had a chart in there about what we do with those 10 to 12 weeks, specifically with our kids. Who's doing what these days?
Well, the logistics and the numbers are really expensive. There were a couple of reports out last year from places like the Center for American Progress, from New America, where they really looked at what the costs are for the typical family, and they found that the average is about $3,000 in spending on summer programs or care. It's about 20% of the typical family's income, but it also depends pretty widely on where you live. There were some areas where, you know, people are, by their estimates, spending easily more than half of their summer income just to make sure that their kids have someplace safe to go. And when you're thinking about how parents cobble this together, in a lot of cases, they're taking some of their own paid time off if they get it. Certainly not getting generally that the whole 10 to 12 weeks. You're talking about maybe a couple of days, couple of weeks in there. They're getting care from other relatives. They're sending their kid to camp. In some cases, you know, for kids that maybe are a little bit older, they're doing things like summer jobs, or they are just leaving them on their own. They're really, in a lot of cases, struggling to find ways to patchwork this together so that they have something to do.
Slightly off subject here, but still part of this conversation to a certain extent, care by relative, only 16% of us. You know, like back in the decades ago, it would have been like 80%, right? Our families are just, everywhere. We don't treat summers the same way, it seems.
It's something that we see a lot in a lot of cases when we're talking about care of relatives. It's something I've written about before on, you know, the care of older relatives, particularly, that just, you know, there are very few family members usually who are able to pitch in for the care of someone, and that is something that you see even for younger kids as well. Families are far flung. More people are working, we're not as close. There's a lot of different things that go in, but, you know, it is certainly very different than I remember being as a kid, and I would be spending almost the entire summer with my grandparents.
A whole separate conversation. So number one here, you say figure out your gaps when it comes to planning for summer camp. How so?
Well, part of that is sort of figuring out what are the options that are available to you. Thinking about your financial resources, thinking about how much paid time you have off, what you can use for that period. Can you get grandma to do the, as they call it, the infamous grandma camp?
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, senior editor at Acorns plus CNBC. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's a tip. No guy looks good in a long, bulky dress shirt when it's untucked. You might think it looks casual, but it actually ends up looking sloppy. That's because those shirts were never meant to be worn that way. Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Not too long, not too short. For that clean, casual look you can even wear at the office. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Go to untuckit.com or visit one of Untuck It's 50 stores across the U.S. and Canada. Untuck It even offers free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. Use the promo code Gordon for 20% off your first purchase. So if you want the perfect fitting shirt, regardless of your shape and size, try the original untucked shirt. And remember, use the promo code Gordon for 20% off your first purchase. That's untuckit.com and the promo code Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, February 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Mueller probe could be delivered next week. Coast Guard lieutenant arrested on domestic terror charges. A New York man accused of deliberately running over a family of eight, killing the mother. Actor Jussie Smollett accused of staging his own assault. West Virginia teachers end their strike. Oakland teachers expected to begin one. Summit at the Vatican today about sexual abuse. Winter storm targets the southeast. And the first baseball spring training game today. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. Corporate executives and communications experts say that the increasing speed at which controversy gains momentum online has forced them to perfect the three-pronged rapid response: acknowledge, apologize, and investigate. Even as much as a half-hour delay in response can be costly. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Germano says what comes next can range from lying low to overhauling executive management. Sarah, what have you found?
If it feels like to you that there's a new, you know, backlash against a corporate brand or a product or an advertisement all the time, it's very apparent to companies, too. And what we did, you know, you may have heard of some of these recent examples, like Gucci recalling a sweater that was offensive, or Adidas taking from their planned release a pair of shoes for Black History Month that others found offensive. We decided to ask companies and communications experts about their experience handling the hordes of social commentary and criticism, because it's so easy these days for anyone to get on social media and find an advertisement or a product or an action and complain, and suddenly it becomes this big PR problem for these companies.
Yeah. So use the Adidas example. What happened, and how did Adidas address it?
So every year, I should say, Adidas and other shoe companies put out limited edition releases of sneakers for all kinds of holidays. There are Christmas ones, there are shoes related to NBA All-Star Weekend, but this particular example was a limited release collection of shoes for Black History Month, and one of those pairs of shoes in that collection for this year was criticized because it was essentially all white. The fortunate thing is Adidas hadn't formally put the shoes on sale yet, but after they sort of teased them and got all of the online criticism for it, they decided to pull that shoe before it went on the market, and they apologized. That's probably a really good, like, boilerplate example of a lot of missteps that some consumer brand companies have found themselves in recent years, and because of the power, the reach, and the speed of social media, which allows images or messages to kind of ricochet around the world so quickly, companies now have to respond to their missteps in a very quick fashion.
We're speaking with Sarah Germano, Wall Street Journal staff writer based in Berlin. She's got a story about how companies manage online outrage. You said, too, sometimes this can lead to, like, executive management overhaul.
Yeah, so the other example worth noting is last year, you may be familiar, H&M, the fast fashion retailer, was heavily criticized and even had some of their stores vandalized after the company put out a children's sweater with the phrase, "coolest monkey in the jungle," modeled by an African child. And the company pulled that product very quickly, apologized for the misstep. And in the year since, they've appointed several people to a diversity and an inclusion team. There are some executives at their headquarters in Sweden, and there are also executives in the U.S. I spoke with their new North American head of diversity and inclusion, and she said they've been looking at a range of things that the company can improve upon, the most important thing being expanding their quality control. So they not only do they have this new diversity and inclusion team, but they're making sure that when products are designed, they're being reviewed by people in different offices. They said they're operating in 71 markets around the world. There's no reason that they can't be leaning on people from different backgrounds in different areas to give something the once-over and say, is this something that will work in all markets?
I know you pointed out that back in the day, some of the strategists said if this was some small outlet that reported it, they could just ignore it and it would go away. But these days, how fast do some of these folks feel they have to respond to online outrage?
One crisis communication expert I spoke to said that the rule of thumb is now 30 minutes. You have 30 minutes to respond to something before, the company loses control of shaping the narrative, which actually doesn't really give you a lot of time. I mean, sometimes it even just takes 30 minutes to arrange a phone call with, your friend.
Thanks, Sarah. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Germano. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've often talked about the lack of preparation some would-be criminals have in order to be successful or to successfully carry out their misdeeds, leading to their immediate capture by authorities. Sometimes, however, no matter how foolproof your plan, you just get really unlucky. One Philadelphia thief ran into such a situation last month. According to Runner's World, a lunchtime running group was out doing their thing near the University of Pennsylvania when they saw a very fast man sprint by them. At first, the group was impressed, estimating that the man was probably running a 7-minute, 15-second pace. When they quickly realized that the man had allegedly stolen a phone and laptop, they all looked at each other and sprinted into action, chasing the thief down with their adept running skills and eventually driving him into the path of responding university police officers.
How about that? I wonder how they figured out that he had actually stolen the phone.
I'm guessing there were people maybe behind him or something yelling like, "Hey, thief,
catch
thief,
him.
Stop that thief." But they, of course, at first they were like, "Whoa, that guy's pretty fast. Maybe we should, ask him to join."
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's funny.
And then they chased him down. See, my guess is if he was running that fast, he was running far, far above what his pace should be, right? He just ran himself out.
Yes.
You know, these folks know how to pace yourself. So they sort of slowly, methodically chased him through the streets until the police eventually caught up.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I would say that a phone thief wouldn't be in that good of shape.
Right.
So you probably only have that 7-minute, 15-second pace on you for 45 seconds or so,
right?
For, like you say, he was just out of gas.
Yeah, so sort of a tortoise and hare situation. Right. The runners paced themselves well, caught up to him, and got the police involved.
How unfortunate, by the way, that he did not encounter like a senior citizen walking group.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Really bad luck on
really
his
bad
part.
Luck.
He just ran into a running group there at lunchtime. And in what we can only hope is an emerging trend, Gordon, another police department is seeking volunteers willing to help you get drunk for free. You might remember we told you a few weeks back about the Cutstown, Pennsylvania Police Department's call for 3 volunteers willing to, quote, drink to the point of intoxication for a training exercise. The response to the request was enthusiastic, to say the least, and the department quickly issued a statement saying that the positions were filled. Fear not if you missed out. There's now another department willing to fund your inebriation, this time in Tennessee. The Coopertown Police Department says 6 volunteers will be treated to a day of drinking to help officers learn to make decisions during traffic stops and DUI checkpoints. And if that wasn't enough, transportation to and from the event will be provided, and volunteers can even request certain types of alcohol in advance of the June event.
Whoa.
But
what?
Don't get your hopes up too much. As police warn, you shouldn't expect any top shelf drinks.
Oh, wow.
Well, they know that people can get a little crazy.
Yes.
They don't want to waste taxpayers' dollars to that degree.
Here's what's surprising to me, that you referenced this, that folks will be treated to a day of drinking.
That's what it says. A day.
A day?
Yeah. I think we're sort of upping the ante here, because I think this Pennsylvania department, I remember it was for a few hours.
Yeah, it was
drinks. You know, 3 volunteers. Yeah. They didn't say anything, I don't think, about transportation or supplying alcohol. Now we're up to 6 volunteers.
Whoa.
We bring you back and forth. It's a day of drinking.
Man.
You get to request your own alcohol. So
yeah.
We're raising the stakes here, it seems like.
I'd tap out after about an hour.
Yeah.
I'm a lightweight as it is. Okay. 2 drinks, like on an empty stomach. Watch out.
Yes.
Watch out.
Day may be a little ambitious.
Coopertown, by the way, at least according to this map I'm looking at, just northwest of Nashville.
Okay.
So you might be able to combine, a fun time, swing into Nashville.
Make a day and a night of it, sure.
Right. Get drunk with Coopertown police.
Not you, because you'll be passed out already.
Thank you. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
With this job, having 2 hands won't cut it, which is why I thank the stars I have a third, Grainger. When my 2 hands are full, I fully rely on Grainger. They're America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. So, whether I'm fixing a furnace or fastening a faucet, Grainger hands me what I need when I need it, which makes me a pretty lucky guy. Because when it comes to needing an extra hand, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. A new study finds that prescription fentanyl has been inappropriately prescribed to people for years. Researchers from Johns Hopkins University say prescription fentanyl, a highly potent drug meant for people with advanced cancer who have been on an opioid treatment, found that the drug was wrongly prescribed up to 50% of the time, typically for people who did not meet the criteria, like for those with headaches and back pain. In addition, they found a federal system that was set up to track these fentanyl prescription practices did not flag a single one of the prescribers who had been given the drug incorrectly. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, travelers will try to get back on track today after a mix of snow, sleet, and heavy rain yesterday across much of the country resulted in more than 1,300 flight cancellations. The Washington, D.C. area got about 6 inches of snow before it changed over to ice and rain. This girl was visiting the nation's capital.
I love it. It's absolutely beautiful. All the pictures kind of show in the summertime, so I think it's really nice just to see all the white powdery snow everywhere.
For the second time in a week, it snowed in the Las Vegas area. In a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court has moved to limit states' ability to seize private property involved in a crime, saying the forfeitures are subject to protection against excessive fines. The case involved a 37-year-old man from Indiana whose $42,000 Land Rover was seized following a drug conviction in 2013. A judge had sentenced him to probation and a modest $1,200 fee. He argued the subsequent seizure of his vehicle by Indiana was excessive and unconstitutional, and the high court agreed. A devastating fire raced through densely packed buildings in a centuries-old shopping district in Bangladesh's capital today, killing at least 70 people. The district is crammed with buildings separated by narrow alleys, with residences commonly above shops, restaurants, or warehouses on the ground floors. The head of the FDA says if states don't require more school children to get vaccinated, the federal government might have to step in. Nearly all states allow children to attend school, even if their parents opt out of vaccines. These vaccine exemptions are especially popular in Washington state, where a measles outbreak has now sickened at least 67 people. Scott Gottlieb says if certain states continue down the path they're on, they're going to force the hand of federal health agencies. If you want that new foldable Samsung phone, you better start saving up. Samsung has introduced the upcoming release of the Galaxy Fold, which has a price just under $2,000. The device unfolds like a wallet, increasing its display to a tablet size 7.3 inches. Once it's folded, the screen size is 4.6 inches, about the size of most standard smartphone screens on the market now.
What are we doing?
I'd rather have a car than a phone.
Almost $2,000?
$2,000.
Come on. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Don't junk that old VHS player just yet. Surely there's somebody looking for one online. An 86-year-old eBay shopper wrote a heartwarming letter to the seller who sent him a VHS player, thanking him for helping bring back memories of his younger days. According to the letter, which has gone viral on Twitter, the elderly man found a trove of many old VHS tapes, but soon realized he had no machine on which to play them. He took to eBay for the first time in his life and ordered one. In a letter to the seller, the man then recounted how he was finally able to relive some of his major life events, including his retirement party, his wedding, complete with footage of all the family and friends, many of which are no longer around, he said. He said watching each of the life events was more fun than the last, all thanks to the seller's generous selling of the VHS player. The seller, 31-year-old Matt Schaukry of St. Louis, says he plans to respond to the man's letter to tell him the impact it's had online. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.